Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, radiologist, TEDx speaker, and founder of Next Gen Health, Dr. Mitchell Abrams.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Cam Amen. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so excited about this conversation today, so excited that it has sparked a lot of conversations in my head and has made me rethink some of the things that I hadn't thought of before or hadn't thought of in this way, and reimagine how I could have done things differently or how I can do them differently in the future. And let me give you an example. A few years ago, I was having a moment where I wasn't feeling very well, and I'm using mild language because I don't want to give energy to what was going on at the time, which is interesting because that's how I really feel about that. And that is actually what I think we're going to be talking about is on the one hand, I don't want to give energy to it. On the other hand, there is energy that I could have brought into it that could have supported me and potentially those in my family and close friends group. So the thing was, I wasn't feeling great. And actually, friends who would see me could tell something was up, and they offered to help, and they wanted to support. And it's not something I brought up. It's not something I just don't talk about as an adult, at least. I just don't, for many reasons. But for the sake of this conversation, after I started feeling better, I was more comfortable sharing with my family how something had been going on. And I wasn't sure what it was, but thankfully I'm all better. And one of my brothers, all my family said something to this effect, but one of my brothers said it this way: "Why didn't you tell me? I can't believe you didn't tell me. I should be your first call. And if something happens to you, I should be the first call on your emergency contact list." And I said, "You're far away." And he said, "I know I'm far away." "Okay, so I could be your second call or somebody's second call. I need to know." And I said, "Well, thank you, but you're far away." And he said, "It doesn't matter if I'm far away. If I can do something, I will. And if I can't, I'll pray. I love you. I need to know." And I hadn't thought about it that way. And not until today, after listening to one of our guests' TED Talk, or I listened to at least two, but one in particular, where I thought, was there a moment there to bring us closer together? Was there that I missed? Was there a moment where we could use that energy, sometimes good, sometimes not good, in learning more about each other and coming together closer and having love for each other, compassion for each other, understanding for each other in that moment? And I didn't think about this. I want to talk about this, that somehow that would have helped me, but it would have helped him, potentially would have helped the family, and potentially could have helped the world. I mean, that's what we're going to talk about. How that, something like that, I don't know, I'm learning, can help the world. I'm in. I'm ready to learn.
Well, we got a full show tonight to help the world, for sure. It's a great way to approach. You know, while you were talking, I was thinking about it. I can't remember the guy's name that builds those those viral videos where it's like the old mousetrap game where the ball rolls down the thing and then falls off the deck and it hits the lever and it opens the thing.
Yes. Continues.
So that's what I was thinking about your contact list. You can have, you know, if you call this person, it triggers a call to that person, then it activates three or four other things so that ultimately you are, you know, engaging and helping the whole world.
And we can do that for good things, and we can do that for happy things and all kinds of opportunities.
Precisely. More happy things, more interactivity. But tonight, I'm telling you, this is such a synchronistic introduction. It's been so heartwarming to get to know Dr. Mitchell Abrams. And we have to give a heartfelt shout out and thank you to Life Changes friend and previous guest, Galit McCord, for making this wonderful introduction. And and having Dr. Mitch on with Powerhouse Cam is this is going to be a night to remember.
I know we're going to be talking about heart and compassion, altruism, and not only does Dr. Mitch talk about that, Cam Amen sings about that and actually sings from the heart like that. What a perfect combo.
Heart, frequency, helping the world. We got it all tonight.
We got it all. Well, we've titled this episode Compassion and Altruism for Better Health and Renewed Creativity. This is our episode 851, and we have the pleasure to have on the show interview guest, radiologist, TEDx and keynote speaker, certified educator of applied compassion, and founder of Next Gen Health Foundation, Dr. Mitchell Abrams, FRCPC. Dr. Mitch, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Filippo and Mark. It's great to be with you.
Pleasure to have you here. Before we get started, FRCPC, it means?
It's Fellowship of the Royal Canadian Physician Surgeons College.
Wow.
Physicians, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I know you were listening, How Do I Save the World? By telling my brother who loves me that I wasn't feeling well.
Well,
what sense does that make?
Well, it really comes down to looking at the science of the heart. And the field of psychophysiology that some of you may be aware of, particularly if you follow the work of HeartMath and Dr. Roland McCrady. And it turns out that the heart is so much more than just a pump. The heart plays a pivotal role in how we feel, how we think, our emotions. And in particular, when we feel a sense of kindness or love or compassion, the heart rhythm goes into a very, or the heart rate variability rhythm goes into a very specific signature. It becomes very orderly and smooth and rhythmic. And this is, if you think about it as an energetic signal, it allows your brain and your body to come into balance with each other. There is this concept of entrainment in physics, where systems that are vibrating at different levels, they can get phase locked, and then they begin to feed into each other. And so when we feel love, we all can appreciate that sense of feeling expansive, feeling connected to the whole, and we just feel like we're in the flow of life. And at a physiologic level, you are resonating at a very particular frequency of 0.1 hertz, which interestingly, if you look at the magnetic field lines around this planet Earth, the very first magnetic field line resonates as if you were to pluck it like a guitar string, it would resonate at 0.1 hertz. So this is a resonant frequency for our physiology that literally optimizes not only the way how we think, how we feel, how we process information, how we treat ourselves and others, but it also directly affects our physical health, our physical well-being. And this is, key to not just self-care and cultivating well-being, but it also turns out that our energy radiates much, well beyond the physical boundary of our body. And so the heart is also pivotal in creating a biomagnetic field, and that is resonating these frequencies, this heart rate variability signature, which is encoding our emotions, and your 0.1 hertz, you know, that encoding of love or compassion can actually radiate and affect other people's hearts. So you can pull people into that, that energetic frequency. So when we say in you know, the science of compassion, we know that compassion is contagious. And it's, you know, this is not just metaphorical or poetic. I mean, this is really at a physiologic level. We know that the heart plays a pivotal role in not only helping us, you know, feel, you know, physical, mental, emotional well-being, but we actually can support others. How we show up directly affects how other people are going to heal, or how they're going to react and be, you know, showing up in the world themselves. So it's a very fascinating, you know, topic.
Obviously it has to be somebody who truly cares and not somebody who could say, well, why did it? And why didn't you, you know, have negative energy on it? So somebody who truly cares, that entrainment would make me healthier, and that person would vibrate in that space where potentially then the two of us entrained and vibrating will then affect other people, my brother and the people he connects with at work, or me and the people I connect with, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
Something like that?
Absolutely. You know, the research shows that when you bring people together and they focus on a sustained feeling of compassion for self and others, and if they're hooked up to heart rate variability monitors, and they can see how not only are each individual, you know, their heart rhythm is in the signature of what we call heart coherence, but they become synchronized with each other. And then when somebody else, let's say, walks into the room, even if they're totally unaware of what heart coherence is, their heart can be pulled into that physiological state. So to your point, absolutely, you know, we are radiating this energy, and compassion truly is contagious.
So I had this thought shortly after in one of your talks when you were talking about the international project, peace project the Middle East.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you share that real quickly with the audience that might not have heard that yet?
For sure. Yeah. This was fascinating. So it was during the 1980s. It was a Harvard psychologist, Dr. Charles Alexander. Him and his colleagues, they hypothesized that if you come together as a group and you cultivate this inner state of peace and calmness and cultivate coherence with an intention for peace, and you direct that intention, let's say, to a particular group, they hypothesize that you could create a measurable reduction in conflict. So during the Lebanese Civil War, they conducted these collective intention experiments, and they conducted approximately 9 experiments over 2 years, and they collected the data, and it was quite profound. And despite initial skepticism, this study was published in a very reputable peer-reviewed journal, the Yale's Journal of Conflict Resolution. And what it showed was that this collective intention actually caused a reduction of wartime fatalities by, you know, approximately 71%. Wow. Wartime injuries reduced by approximately 64%. And so we now, you know, and these are studies that have been replicated and verified in numerous times. And we're starting to better understand why that is. We're starting to appreciate, particularly since 2022, the Nobel Prize being awarded to 3 individuals who experimentally proved that, yes, we are living in a non-local, interconnected, entangled universe. And so when we begin to think in terms of quantum physics and non-locality, we begin to understand that when you cultivate these states of coherence, when you are cultivating, that compassion, you're creating ordered information within your body. And yes, that will translate to improved health and well-being. But at the same time, you're feeding not just the local field environment, so perhaps your family or your colleagues, wherever you happen to be, but you're also feeding that information into a non-local field. And that non-local field is connecting all of us, even you're in my, you know, you're in LA, I'm in Canada. In a sense, we are interconnected. And so Einstein said, look, you know, the greatest illusion is the illusion of separation. And so these studies and the science is now kind of helping us appreciate a deeper reality that exists.
So when I heard that, and I thought about all the things that are going on in the world that we don't like. I hope there are a lot of things that we do like, but there are things going on that we don't like. And I thought, well, we're going about it the wrong way, the way we're talking about it, the way we worry or are angry or complain about it. Like, how we should be praying. We should be putting positive energy out there. And then I pointed the finger back at me. I should be. And I know this. It's not enough, obviously, because I know heart math, and I interviewed so many people on our show. And so then I thought, well, where am I not doing it in my life? And that, you know, how that situation with my health and my brother. So I'm not doing it. So it's hard to do it for the world if I can't even do it for myself. So where do we start?
Yeah, that's a really great point, Filippo. And I think it all starts with our own heart. And when we begin to slightly shift our understanding of energy, and as we begin to better understand that we each are energetic beings, how do we intelligently manage our own energy? And when you begin to think in those terms, we can begin to better appreciate, to become more aware of our thoughts, become more aware of our intentions. And ultimately, we need a practice. We need a daily practice. You know, if you, whatever you want to call it, meditation or a heart focused, intention, but that particular practice, when we cultivate this, you know, beautiful relationship with our heart, and our heart is very intelligent. It functions, autonomously, you know, it actually can help us connect to a much deeper aspect of ourselves, and to help us connect to, you know, something much greater than ourselves. And so by practicing, literally by cultivating a practice, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes a day, the research shows that within 2 months, your brain structure will actually change. If you practice these techniques, just like going to the gym and you're going to work out your, you know, your biceps for 2 months, your biceps, your muscles are going to they will change, physically change. And so will your brain. And so when you begin these practices and you create it as a regular routine in your life, your biochemistry changes. So it's not as much you need, you know, an effort to change the way that you perhaps think or act, but you begin to feel differently. The stories that you tell yourself begin to change. And there's an inner transformation that can begin to take hold. So I'm a true believer that the heart is really key in the science of transformation. It's key in self-compassion for healing and for healing others.
Well, I know you have tools and you have a challenge, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And speaking of heart, I love how you say, we don't say to people, I love you from the bottom of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, intuitively, for, you know, ancient cultures, so many cultures have always understood that the heart is so key to our intelligence. You know, we know things in our heart of hearts. And, you know, now modern science is finally catching up to what ancient wisdom has been trying to tell us, you know, for millennia.
Nice. Well, I have to say that originally when Mark started to socialize the idea of having you on the show, and I heard radiologist, and I know a little bit about radiologists, but I went to DuckDuckGo and did a search. What does a radiologist do, or what is one? And the search assist said, a radiologist is a medical doctor who specializes in diagnosing and treating conditions using medical imaging techniques such as x-rays, CT scans, and MRIs. So this conversation about compassion and altruism for better health and renewed creativity is not the conversation I expected we were going to have when I initially thought of you as a radiologist. How did you get here?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. So in my very first year of medical practice as a radiologist, I found out I required open heart surgery. And very quickly, doctor became patient and experienced our healthcare model from a very different side. And I realized at that point very quickly that, you know, the way that we study and define health and wellness is very narrow in scope. There is something missing within this paradigm. And, you know, yes, the doctors, you know, physically corrected my heart, but certainly I was not prepared for the emotional toll that took place. And as I returned to work, and then I was appointed the chief of our department. And so really quickly in my career, from the bottom up and top down, I realized, wow, you know, there's something fundamentally missing in not only how we study and deliver, but, you know, how we, you know, the business of medicine is just not sustainable. It's just so antiquated. And this catapulted me in a very different direction. I started traveling to India, and it was there I realized, wow, you know, there's an entire discipline of science that we're just not exposed to. And it was in that time of healing and self-exploration where I discovered, you know, this ancient ways, this ancient wisdom of looking at the science of mind, the science of heart, and really the interconnectedness of all things. And I realized that the energy that, you know, these ancient scripts were discussing, it's the same energy that constitutes all of us and you know, and the world, the same energy that I work with in radiology. So when you think about what a radiologist does, you're absolutely right. We use medical imaging tools to non-invasively dissect the human body, you know, kind of like a loaf of bread, you know, and using these machines. But when you think about it, we're literally extracting information from the light of your atoms. I mean, ultimately, at the deepest level of science, you, I, every listener, we are all beings of light. And, you know, and hearing that, if you're on the very spiritual end of the spectrum, you'll feel that and you'll understand that. But from a very scientific perspective, you also understand, well, that's actually true. When you look at what constitutes an atom, well, you know, in molecules, well, we now know that an atom is literally 99.99999% space. It's vibrations of energy. And so this, you know, we used to think that science and spirituality perhaps were two ends of the spectrum, but really it's when you take a step back far enough, you begin to appreciate, well, really it's one big circle. And it's this beautiful relationship, this intersection between science and spirituality that I truly believe is the missing element within our medical model. And it directly speaks to the science of compassion, the science of human connection. And it's as much local as it is non-local in perspective.
You had obviously a metamorphosis of body and mind and spirit. And when you started to come to this realization, I trust you started to share it. Well, you're sharing it now, but you started to share it, I imagine, a while ago. How was it received? How is it received now? Because you're still a radiologist.
Yes. Yeah, I'm still practicing. That's a great question. You know, it's been very, very fascinating to see this shift, because certainly when I started giving talks, you know, about 10 years ago, there was definitely, you know, 50% of the room was open to it. The other 10, you know, the other 50%, you know, they were looking at me as if I've just lost my mind. Like, what in the world are you talking about? And the transition over the last 10 years has been quite amazing. Now there is definitely an appetite. There's this deep interest in a new approach to healing. And I think what we're experiencing, you know, this shift is really stemming from two interesting things. Number one, you know, right before COVID in 2019, an article was published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal saying, look, suicide is the only cause of mortality higher among doctors than non-doctors.
Wow.
So mental health, we're starting to understand, was a real problem. Burnout, compassion fatigue was really affecting the healthcare community, and people were starting to realize, whoa, something's not right. I mean, and how can we create healthy communities if we amongst ourselves are not healthy? So that was, you know, a big shift, and particularly, you know, an ego, it really kind of hit the ego to the community of physicians. And then the other thing is, well, the 2022 Nobel Prize in Physics. I mean, we are non-local entangled. That literally is telling us that every atom in your body contains information of every other atom of this entire universe. So when we begin to, you know, think about health and well-being, when we start looking at the mind-body connection, there's something there. I mean, physicians now, we talk about the biopsychosocial model of medicine, which is really one big fancy way to say mind, body, and spirit. And spirit and quantum physics are now beginning to be understood as this interesting entity. And from my experience, when talking with physicians, now what I'm finding is that, you know, physicians are coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know, thank you for, you know, putting some science to information, what I intuitively have been feeling for years. I'm intuitively, you know, have been coming to these conclusions. And now with enough science, people are feeling like we can begin to talk about it in a very serious way. We can begin to engage in a very mature conversation and begin to appreciate that perhaps not all of our answers are found in a pill bottle. Not every answer is, you know, found in the operating suite. And not to say that modern medicine, that we've gone, you know, yes, we've gone too far, but it's time that we take the best of the West and incorporate ancient wisdom and these perspectives, and creating perhaps a new paradigm, a new approach to health and well-being. And it really does begin with the individual, you know, the practitioner's health and well-being. Because it's very easy as a physician, you can treat hypertension or diabetes in a patient without having high blood pressure or diabetes. But when we're talking about mental health, when we're talking about the ability to thrive, that really is very difficult to convey to a patient when they themselves as a practitioner are feeling empty, when they're feeling lost, you know, and perhaps depressed or whatnot. So there's a very interesting shift. We're in a very interesting time now in medicine.
Exciting. And so it's exciting also that you have gone on to found Next Gen Health, which we'll talk about. And you are an educator for Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education, CCARE or CCARE. We have links to all of these, by the way, at the Life Changes Show, and we'll also give it up before we're done here. But I got a sense that compassion and altruism, those sounded like good things to do in the past, but all of a sudden it's critical that potentially without compassion and altruism and some of the other things we'll talk about, including art and music, we're going to die or not live our best life. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let me just quickly, I just want to make one quick correction. So I don't teach out of CCARE. I actually studied at CCARE and did a program. It was an applied compassion program. And you're right. Altruism and compassion is key to healing. It's key to self-care. And, you know, we see it in so many different ways. The more that we act in a kind way to others, the person providing that kindness, their health is elevated. And those who are receiving compassion are healthier. And just to give you one, you know, fascinating example, we know that when you are receiving compassion, not only are you in that physiologic synchronization where your heart rhythm synchronize with each other, but your pain perception reduces by up to 50%. So in post-op, so after surgery, you know, the Journal of American Medical Association published that if a patient pre-op before the surgery gets a 30-minute opportunity, a visit with the doctor, just to cultivate a sense of compassion, they typically will require up to 50% less opioid pain meds following surgery. And there is a statistically significant reduction in hospital stay after the surgery.
Wow.
So this is, you know, and unfortunately, just to say that our medical model currently is based on, this idea. And it was created at a time when we thought we were separate from each other. It was based on a Newtonian perspective of separation. And as a result of that, we really do have this industrialized model of healthcare, focusing on, quantity and metrics and numbers. And the art of healing, that the science of compassion is not really built into the system. And now we're really appreciating, like, wow, this is foundational to healing. This is actually, at the ground level. So we're at a pivotal point in time where we really need to re-examine how we're doing things. And perhaps we can take this opportunity, particularly with all this new technology that's available to us that's coming out, to say, look, let's re-examine and let's come up with a new approach.
You know what I was just thinking? Is the science proving that kissing a boo-boo really does help?
That's a deep sense of that's an act of compassion. So I'd have to say yes.
So what is the good news about Next Gen Health?
Well, I like to think there's a lot of good news. Certainly we do a lot of different projects to help bring more compassion into the world and ultimately create more coherence for individuals, communities, and the world. And so we do everything from education, curriculum programs for healthcare, for organizations, as well for students. We run an internship for high school students. But also we have this new platform called the Global Heart Sync, which is now available. People can sign up and begin participating. It's in the very first iteration, but we're constantly adding new elements. And this Global Heart Sync is so unique. It's a gamified approach to the science of heart coherence. And it allows people to come together and they receive free tools, one of which is the HeartMath, the Global Coherence app. So now people can literally in real time measure their energetic state, measure their coherence and track your progress so you can maximize your practice. But at the same time, you will earn points depending upon how coherent you become and how long that you actually use the app. Yeah. And your points will be contributed to a global pool. And as we collectively reach certain milestones, we will unlock corporate sponsorships. And so now corporate, philanthropy or through corporate sponsorships, that will help fund mental health and resilience programs for communities in need and in schools. So we're literally creating these cycles of compassion through a gamified approach. And most importantly, this now becomes a platform where people can begin to witness this emerging global heartbeat. We begin to understand and appreciate this interconnectedness. And so I really believe that the narrative of today is so focused of, that we're different from each other and it's a you versus me mentality and all of our systems are all based, that it really creates such a degree of polarization. And I believe that the Global Heart Sync is perhaps this platform that will allow us to begin to think differently and begin to witness what happens, how we are so interconnected that when we are in a deep sense of compassion, our rhythms begin to synchronize. We can actually cultivate a global heartbeat and it reframes the narrative of who we are and what we are individually, but also as a community. So that I highly invite and hope that people will check that out. It's globalheartsync.org, and it's a very exciting project that we've just begun.
globalheartsync.org, sync as in S-Y-N-K, or sorry, S-Y-N-C, globalheartsync.org, and also at nextgenhealth.solutions, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, people can find you on the socials and NextGen Health on the socials, and we have links for that, but Dr. Mitch is on Instagram at dr.mitch.abrams. Again, find them all at lifechangesshow.com, including the Medicine of Frequencies, which is one of the TEDx talks that I was referring to. And there are at least, is at least one more, or are there more to come, I take it?
Well, yeah, currently there's two that are available, and we'll see what's on the horizon.
Yeah, I already asked for the book, so when that's ready, please do let me know so I can get one.
Absolutely.
and looking forward to so much more coming from your camp. This is really exciting. Actually, I do want to plug, didn't have time to cover it all, but do want to plug Rad Art.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Rad Art is my capstone project from the Center for Compassion, Altruism Research, and Education, and essentially it's a knowledge translation tool that's also a sustainable fundraising mechanism. So artists who are already certified in our curriculum, they're invited to join me on stage or for any, you know, programs that we deliver, and they're tasked to capture the energy of these conversations and these moments that are shifting our global worldview in their art through their heart in real time. And corporations can now sponsor the art. People are buying the art, and that money is used to deliver more mental health and resilience programs for communities in need. And at the same time, every piece of art gets physically installed with a QR code that links it back to the creation story of that piece. Mm. So now every piece of art becomes a hub of knowledge and education and inspiration. And it also is a pipeline for people to connect with a community, a growing community that are practicing these heart-focused meditations, this heart coherence. And, you know, I invite all of you and your listeners, you know, at 6 p.m. Eastern time, Monday to Friday, I provide free heart coherence meditations over Zoom for people who are coming together, and people are really dedicated to not just self-care, but we're now recognizing our common humanity. So this, you know, this is just another way where we can use art to inspire change and to help people tune into these conversations that are just so meaningful.
Where do we sign up for those?
So again, on our website, and you'll see, on the drop-down menu, there is something that says free live sessions, and you'll get all the information that you need and with the Zoom link, and you can join as much or as little as you like.
Very exciting. You were about to say something before I asked that question. Do you remember? Nope. That's at globalheartsync, S-Y-N-C.org, or you can also check out NextGen, N-E-X-G-E-N, health.solutions, or find Dr. Mitch Abrams on social media. It is a good story, and it feels good, and looking forward to much more coming from your camp. Thank you for sharing what you share, how you share, and the frequencies you're putting out, Dr. Mitch.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to share.
What a pleasure connecting with you. Thanks again, Dr. Mitch Abrams.
Thank you.
Mark, I so loved this conversation, and it's funny how my mind said radiologist, and I thought, great, we're going to have, you know, conversation like this or that, but which we hadn't had, but this is so much better.
Well, I tried to describe that to you, but I couldn't.
Well, eventually I got it.
But I couldn't capture it in words early on because I was thinking as I was listening to Dr. Mitch, you know, there's a lot of competent people out there and those that have been well educated and have achieved success in their lanes, but not many of them are open enough to reorient, to expand, to connect the dots across the whole. And the way Dr. Mitch has, and the way he sees the world, and the way he draws from all these skills, and yet is continuing to pioneer and break new barriers and really connect the dots. It's we need more of that.
Absolutely. And that's why it was important for me to ask him while we were talking before the show if he was still practicing. And when I learned that he was, and then he of course shared it on the show, that was exciting to me, because it's not necessarily this or that, or this and not that. There's obviously he's incorporated all of it, or as much of it as he can, and it looks like he's growing it too.
Growing is probably a better word. In fact, it's another example of how language is limiting, because he's way beyond practice.
And the fact that more radiologists and potentially other doctors can hear him or be inspired to think in other ways, at the very least, about their own lives and their own self. We didn't get to talk about this, but he has a distinction between compassion and self-compassion, and kind of gets maybe back to what I was thinking when, you know, how do I do this for the world if I can't even do it for myself or in my own family? And he said, practice.
Well, exactly, and yet we're moving beyond. I think that the notion here is that we're moving beyond the compartmentalization. You know, certain people get trained for certain things, and we're starting to allow the disciplines to point at each other, or to find the connections, or, you know, this whole interconnectedness that he speaks of, and how we're tapping into that, and then therefore, you know, finding the harmonic, the uniting frequencies. It's exciting.
And it's great how he brought in elements of other guests that we've had and other conversations. And it feels like it's so coming together, and we didn't get to cover it all. And who knows if we'll ever get to, but looking forward to more.
And thank you again, Galit. If you're listening out there, we appreciate you.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Nancy, and my question for you is, how do we know what to believe these days? There appear to be so many blatant lies in the news media. Please share with me how you determine what to believe.
Dear Nancy, that's a thoughtful and important question, and I am sure you know that you're absolutely not alone in feeling overwhelmed or distrustful. With the speed and volume of information today, separating fact from spin or misinformation is harder than ever. It is important to understand media incentives in order to help you choose what to believe. Many outlets prioritize engagement, clicks, views over accuracy. Sensationalism, bias, and selective reporting can distort the truth. So please take time to do some research before deciding what is truth. The closer the consensus across ideologically different sources, the more reliable a claim tends to be. Look for primary sources, government data, full interviews, court documents, etc. Also watch for red flags, emotional language, lack of named sources, vague attribution, like some say, and headlines that don't match the article are signs of poor journalism. Look for fact-checker websites on the internet, and please use your God-given gift of discernment to decide which ones you feel good about. It is more important than ever to research, and then research some more.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And for our performance segment, we have the pleasure of having Cam Amen on again. And it feels like it's been too long. And how perfect is this? Because he is known for his emotional depth and authenticity. It's exciting. We have some new songs we're going to get to share. He is the winner of a platinum ticket on American Idol. He's a singer, a songwriter, an all-around great guy. We have Tess Cacciatore to thank for Cam Amen being on the show. Cam, welcome back to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, man. What's up, guys? I'm super excited for this. This is going to be awesome. So.
It's super great to have you on again. And we connected real fast during our very first conversation and then on the show. Yeah. And then we met. And then and here we are again. And you said you actually reached out to us or somebody from your camp. And then we connected with Tess. And the moment seemed right for just now. And you said you just wanted to give your fans an update through our show of how great you're doing. And
yes,
so we'll do that. But I got to ask, I heard a couple stories. Number one is the platinum ticket you won.
Yes.
Which we all know, the world knows. But what happened to it and where... I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Where is
it? No, it's actually funny.
Where is
it? I believe I either lost it or someone had taken it because it was on. Yeah, man. I feel like that's my dream. Someone just like snatched from me, you know. But I guess I should be getting another one because I got to talk to Lionel Richie. I kind of just went to his event in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to ask you. I saw a picture. What?
Yeah,
what?
Man, it's
you were on stage with him. What happened?
So I just decided to buy a ticket to go see Lionel Richie one night, and I figured he was in town, so I said, "Let's buy one and go close to the stage so I can, you know, take my chances." So, and I was scared, okay? But I met this couple right next to the stage that kind of, you know, pushed me from my, what do you call it, my calves or my legs. They grabbed both of my legs and, like rocketed me up on the stage, and he got so scared. He was like, oh, I thought you were somebody else. He was like, instantly he seen my eyes. And he said, "How are you, man? How you doing?" And we sparked up a full conversation on stage.
If anybody hasn't seen that, we did post that moment when you actually first met him.
Yes.
And I know he's a big champion of yours. So I'm sure he was surprised in more than one way to see you up on stage.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to spend the evening with him actually afterwards,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it was awesome just having to... just to talk with him about my goals. His way of pushing me is asking me what I'm gonna do, you know, and then directing it from there. And it's awesome to have that, you know. Not a lot of singers have that, and I feel like his connection with me really is a big push for my music career as well, you know.
So one of the advice I know that he gave you, and you used a word that I don't think I had heard yet, bucking, was it?
Busking.
Busking. Okay.
Yes.
So when you described it, I said, oh, we used to call it paying our dues, something like that, right?
Yeah.
I hated that. Still,
yeah,
so man. Now I hate busking, whatever.
Busking, Busking is, you know, it's different. It's, some people think it's like, I mean, it is kind of, it's not really panhandling. It's like showing your dream if you think about it. But you're just singing on the street for just anyone and everyone, you know. That goes into to my journey that I've had the past couple months, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's a long one. I took the initiative to go to Las Vegas and perform on the street, and it turned out amazing, actually, because I got people from, like, the homeless people from the poker, the gamblers, and, you know, a bunch of kids stopped. It just, the love is amazing there. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in Las Vegas, but I believe there's a lot of love there just by what I was singing and how I was singing. You know, it makes me emotional now, but it's like that's what I want for my dream. I want people to see and feel what I'm feeling through my music, you know. So, and I did just that, and I'm glad I went to Las Vegas to change who I am and to gain, you know, a better me, better confidence, you know. So,
you know, you shared with me what some of those changes are, and I know there'll be songs about that, so people are going to know the story was one way or another. What I was really impressed about, I have to say, is, and I'll share with everybody that the things you were going through, you were looking for, how can I better myself, even in the different faces of adversity? How can I change myself? How can I better myself? And at the same time, how could I support the people I love, which is huge. Oh, and I'll add to that, how do I support people I don't even know, like the homeless population? I mean, you got a big heart, Kim, and it's shown from the first moment, at least that I saw it. And we're going to definitely feel it in this first song. Boy, will we feel it. How much of this story do you want to tell? Every song. I mean, there's a story. Like, my gosh.
I pretty much every song that I'm going to put out is going to be a part of my life. So I guess, you know, if you're part of the Cam fam, you gotta get used to it, you know?
Well, I have to say, when you were on the show the first time, we shared about your upbringing and so much of the difficulties in foster care.
Yes.
Your mom and some of the situation there, and was it brother and sister, I think?
Brother and sister.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, that's a show to listen to for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about it again someday, maybe in person, Cam.
Yeah.
But as if you hadn't, as if you hadn't struggled enough, you fell in love, you had a girlfriend in high school,
right.
And you eventually ended up writing this song about what?
About her passing. This is, I don't know if you want me to say this on your show, but you guys don't vape. Do not use a vape pen, vape anything. It's very bad for you. That caused her to, you know, pass away early age, young age. So that's what this song is about.
So it's, right out of high school, right?
Yeah, because the song pretty much says you have to let something go before you're able to even move on and love yourself. You know, it's a part of healing. Just, you know, like Mitch was saying, you know, every part of your body, every part of music is going to help you heal, you know. So,
well, there's an official video on this that people will enjoy watching, I'm sure. It's out on your YouTube channel, which we have on the Life Changes show, basically at CamAmen23. In the meantime, we get to hear the pre-recorded version of Cam's song, which just came out a few months ago, here on the Life Changes show, Truth, Cam Amen.
So loud, fighting battles in my mind. I can't win this alone. Had to leave you behind to find strength on my own. I had to let you go. Though it may break haunt me in the dead of the night. And I'll see your face in the soft moonlight that's torn between the love that we once knew and the pain in my soul that keeps bleeding through. But now I know self-love is what I needed, and I had to let you go. Though it may break my heart, oh, I had to find myself. It's a brand new start. I found the truth. Oh, every step I take feels like a climb, but I'm learning one day at a time. But in the mirror's reflection, I see the scars, but I'm reaching for the stars, and I had to let you go. Though it may break my heart, oh, I had to find myself, and it's a brand new start. I can love you right till I love me too. Oh, I had to let you go till I found the truth. Oh, babe. Oh, yeah. It's a brand new
Gam Amen. Thank you for sharing that. That's Truth, and that's one of the, what is it, 8 songs that you recently released, Cam?
I have 4 out right now. There's 4 in queue, you know.
Okay. But, yeah. And so keep track of what's going on with Cam at on Instagram, Facebook.
Yes.
Look up Cam Amen, C-A-M. Amen, A-M-E-N, and then 23. I don't know if I ever asked you what the 23 is.
That's just my, you know, favorite year, you know.
Okay, okay.
2023, that's the platinum ticket.
Oh, right, indeed. Yeah. Not long
that's
ago.
That's the year my life changed, you know.
for sure. And actually, we're going to hear a song about the time your life changed again, actually.
Yes.
And
yes.
And then when you had your daughter, your life changed again.
Yeah, it's like
you're gonna have to keep adding year dates to the end of your social media links.
So, yeah, man.
So Cam, actually, it's interesting you mentioned that 4 are out, and when you were on the show, you had started one. It might have been your first. I'm okay.
Yeah, it was called I'm Okay. Yes.
I'm Okay. That was your first, and we got to play a clip. Now it's done and it's out. And what's exciting about that is because in this meantime, because at the time you had no originals except that one you were writing. Now I know you have 4 done, 4 in the queue, and actually lots more that you've written. So how did happen in such a short period of time for you?
Oh, man. It was just the conversation that Lionel Richie had with me in like backstage. I don't want to, you know, share it like all, you know, too in depth, but, yeah. It pretty much made me open my eyes to, how I should write, not, you know, when I should write, you know, like, how do I explain that? right when you're feeling something, not when like if something happens to you, don't write about that. Write about the feeling that it made you feel when it happened to you. You know, go a little bit deeper in there.
So, Cam, whether you're writing about your feeling or you're singing somebody else's song that has a feeling or you put a feeling into it, people feel you. And I've seen you live and I've watched the audience and they're feeling something. What do you think is going on there?
I'm thinking they're replaying stories, you know, in their head that have happened to them in the past. And I think my voice just brings out that their best emotion, if that makes sense, you know.
It makes sense.
And I love that. When if I can bring you to tears, or if I can make you smile, just a little smirk, that's enough for me. Like, that tells me I hit something in there, you know. So I feel like if my soul can touch yours, that's a big thing. That's a big thing.
And I remember one of the conversations we had where it was so important for you to touch the audience. I know so many people were like, "Oh, you're going to be famous. Oh, you're going to make a lot. Oh, you're going to be here. You're going to be there." And at one point you were like saying, "You know what, Filippo? I don't remember how you said it exactly, but why
I
don't
got
you
you.
say it? What would you
Yeah.
say?"
Well, I can say something that's it's pretty much exactly like that. It pertains to my Vegas trip that I recently just had. Oh man. Okay, the way okay. So there's a lot of performers out in Vegas. So the way they perform and the way I perform is it's totally two different things. They perform for their rent, their money. I perform because I want to make you cry. Okay, I want you to feel something, and if I can make you feel something, that's to me, that's like gold for some people, because you don't really hear a lot of good soul music or good music at all, because people just want to sing, you know. You got to have some feeling when you're trying to give that crowd everything you got. You know, 150% is enough for me, you
Well,
know.
it's not that you don't need money right now, especially, but
Right,
what a
exactly.
beautiful, beautiful sentiment. And
Right.
nothing against how everybody else is doing, but I do appreciate what you're doing and how you're
Oh
doing
yeah.
it.
Thank
And
you, man. Thank
thank you. Thank you for feeling it. Thank you for putting it
you.
into your music. And we're gonna get to hear one that if it makes us cry, it could make us cry happy tears,
Oh
'cause
yeah.
this song happened when? What were you
Oh
feeling
man.
when this song happened?
That's when I met the love of my life, actually. Oh man. Everything, my whole world turned upside down, let me tell you. But it changed who I am now, actually. I'm proud to be who I am now because of this person. So, yeah.
Well, can we say her name?
Yeah, her name is
Okay.
Erica.
Shout out to
Yeah.
Erica. Look forward to meeting her
Yeah.
and your little one.
Yeah, Journey. Oh my, Journey. She's a butthead.
There'll be a lot of songs about her too, I'm sure.
Oh man,
But she's
can I
walking
share
and
something?
talking. Where are the songs already?
Oh man, I got one already. That it
Okay.
is actually called Journey.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe the next time.
Yeah, I got you, man.
All right.
It's
Well,
actually done already, so
okay.
I
Oh, I
got
wish we
you.
would have known. But in the meantime, this is a great song to play. Here
Oh yeah.
is Cam Amen's pre-recorded and already released, right?
Yes,
Song,
out
I
everywhere.
Feel Love, here on the Life Changes Show.
Something brand new. My heart was so heavy, but now it's light because of you. All the shadows are fading, they're letting the light.
always find my way back. But that's how the love grows. And when I'm feeling lost, oh, your voice is my guide. And with you by my side, baby.
Cam, amen. Cam, where's the best place to hear your music right now?
Actually, Apple Music, Spotify. There's actually a music video on YouTube that I had done for. It was a flash mob here in Norfolk, with about, you know, 50. I don't even know. There was a lot of kids, 50 to 100 kids, helped me out and came up with a whole dance routine, and we did it in the mall here and recorded it and put it on YouTube, so you guys can check it out there.
Well, nice. Okay, so check out YouTube. We have the YouTube link on the on our Life Changes Show page. Find him on Instagram, CamAmen23, and also on YouTube, TikTok, etc., etc. Cam, before we go, congratulations, you've got your first ticket show happening in Massachusetts. So tell us where we could learn more about that so that we can also share it with people that we want to come see it.
Yes. The main pages are at CamAmen23 on Facebook and Instagram. There is a flyer posted on each of those. Yeah, I'm super excited for my first ever ticket show in Massachusetts, man. Like me and a friend put this together, and I honestly didn't think that we'd even come close, but we got all the way there. So I'm super excited.
Congrats. We're excited for you. We'll post the flyer as well tomorrow on our social pages. All the best to you, Cam. So you wanted to come on and let your fans know how you're doing, and you've shared how you're doing overall. Sounds like you're doing pretty good.
I'm doing the best I can. That's all you can do. But like I said, I always give 150%, if not more, especially when it comes to music. I just need to, you know, like you guys talked about, balancing, you know.
Yep. Now that you have a family, a child, and so many adoring fans, you got to balance it all out.
Oh yeah, I definitely try my best. You know?
Cam, always a pleasure. Look forward to connecting again soon.
Man, it's been great.
All the best to you. Until next time.
Till next time, man.
With a big thank you to Cam Amen, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Dr. Mitchell Abrams. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, along with all of us, all of our family here at the Life Changes Show, wishing you positive, happy collective resonance. And we're here to remind you that as your life changes, like ours surely changed tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.